You're listening to the Moms with Dreams podcast, episode number 178. Hey, welcome back to the Moms with Dreams show. I'm Erica Blocker, your host and creator of this podcast. I'm also a success coach, and I am here to inspire you and empower you to follow your dreams without feeling guilty and to reconnect with all of those things that you once wanted to do before you had children and while you were raising your children. And so today, before we get into the show, I want to invite you to join me. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast of your own, if you know that you have a message that you want the world to hear and you want to position yourself as an credible authority and you're ready to just go for it, then I invite you to schedule a 15-minute discovery call with me where we'll talk about your vision. I'll talk about how I can help you bring it to life, and it's totally free. You can link up with me and schedule that call over at ericablocker.com/discovery call. And I look forward to hearing all about your ideas and your vision for your podcast, because it is my mission to help 100 women launch a purpose-based, passionate, powerful podcast. All right. So if that's you, I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to help you bring that to life. And so today I want to talk with you about being, this episode is really good. I like it because it really speaks to our soul as strong women, as mothers. We often have so many responsibilities and things on our plates that we're trying to multitask all the time. We're trying to manage this and that while taking care of our children, still showing up for everyone in our lives, our jobs, our careers, and all that good stuff, right? But what our guest today is going to remind us of is that it's important for us to take control of our own healing, to take a step back and to remember that, hey, you know what? You're human. And sometimes we forget that we're human, right? And we forget that our needs matter. And so that's our conversation today. And I'm talking with Cherie Burton. She's amazing. I'm going to tell you about her in a minute. But before I do that, I just want you to think about, how often do you feel depleted? How often do you feel exhausted? How often do you stop and say, you know what? I'm tired. I'm taking a break. How often do you stop and say, you know what? I need to take some time for myself. Well, if that's an area where you struggle, I hope that today's conversation will inspire you to start taking more time for yourself and making it a priority so that you don't get to that point of depletion. We talk about that a little bit in the conversation today. So I'm not going to give it all away. Let me tell you about Cherie Burton. Cherie Burton is a pioneering spiritual psychologist whose evolutionary stand, speak, shine method transforms women into authentically embodied and empowered feminine leaders. As a mother of six, author, international speaker, and host of the Women Seeking Wholeness podcast, Cherie is passionately driven to guide women influencers to heal, express, and create using the new feminine leadership paradigm. I love that. So Cherie's going to get deep with you. She's going to share some of her story with you that, you know, it's really, I'll say this and then I'll just jump right into it. But I will share this with you is that when I heard Cherie's story, I could identify myself in different parts. So I want you to listen carefully. I want you to take notes and I want you to think about how you can apply what you hear, what Cherie shares with you in your life. All right. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Cherie Burton. Well, hello. I'm so excited. I just shared with you all about Cherie Burton, and I know that you, like I, cannot wait to introduce you to her so you can learn more about what she's doing in the world. So let's get started and welcome Cherie to the show. Welcome to Moms with Dreams.
Thanks, Erica. What a brilliant name for a podcast show.
Thank you so much. It's really, the name of the show came from my own personal experience and story, so it's pretty, it means a lot to me. Yeah. So Cherie, I just got to share all your brilliance. Well, not all of it, because you have so much more to share, but I was able to, you know, share a little bit about you just now with our listeners. I'd love for you to go in a little bit with us and share with us, how did you get started doing this type of work?
Yeah. Well, You know, I have this credo that I have on my website, your mess is your message. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase before, but it's something that was brought to my attention. I don't know who coined the phrase, but I'm like, that's me. My mess is my message. And basically, I was a young mom kind of drowning in diapers and toddlers. And at the time, I was kind of trying to wake up to who I was. I knew that I had a strong sense of some kind of purpose, some kind of mission or something. And it just felt like it's not just limited to the walls of my home. It feels like I need to do something. And I felt a little stuck. I felt a little trapped. I was falling into depression. So I actually have 5 kids right now, but at the time I only had 2. And you know, this is a while ago. This is actually right before 2020. So that dates me a little bit. This is in December of 1999. And I remember my sister called me one day and she said, Cherie, I need you to go to Oprah's website because my internet's down and there's something I need you to look up for me. So I go to Oprah's website and on the right column of her site, these are our upcoming shows. And one of them was Living With Your In-Laws. And I was like, oh, because at the time we were living with my in-laws, my husband and I and our 2 young children. And as I said, I was just drowning in diapers and I had a 2-year-old and a baby. And I basically like, it's one of those moments where I'm like, no one's ever going to read this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so I sent, because it's like, if you have any experience in any of these categories, please reach out. So I did. I was like, well, I'm living with my in-laws. No one's ever going to read this. So I send this email. 2 days later, I'm in the car with my husband and the Oprah producer, one of the Oprah producers called me. And she's like, we loved your email and your, we'd like to invite you to be on Oprah Live next month. So I was like, oh my gosh. Like, so actually what ended up happening, I'll just cut it really short, is that they did fly myself, my husband, my nursing baby, and my in-laws to Chicago to be on Oprah Live. So this would have been like late 1999. And I had already prayed that the universe, God, angels, guides, whoever would send me something because I was drowning in family patterns of depression, anxiety. I had a psychology degree that I basically couldn't use because I felt a little trapped because I had these young children. So we go to Oprah, ended up being really a positive experience. But I remember when I got back and my mom showed me the recording, I did not recognize myself. I'm like, who's that? And not in a good way. Like, oh my gosh, like this is not who I was born to be. Who is that? I was very unconfident. I was sounding a little victim-y. We weren't representing, it wasn't like a dysfunctional story we were sharing. It was just how I was showing up. So again, I got on my knees and I'm like, this is not what I was born to be. What do I do? Help. And it was in pretty short order that I was, of all things, sent a pageant, a Mrs. Pageant. I had a woman that I went to go listen to who was a former Mrs. Utah and they were looking for women to compete in the pageant. And I was like, that's dumb, but that's interesting. And so sometimes when we ask for something, it doesn't show up in the way we think it will. And interestingly enough, it would not leave me alone. I kept thinking about it. I'm like, I'm not going to do a pageant. I'm 40 pounds overweight, blah, 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 blah. So it ended up that the producer of the pageant called me and she said, we really are looking for contestants. And I said, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to do it. And so that started me on a trajectory of my awakening to my beauty, worth, power, voice, speaking my truth of all things, like I said, a pageant. I ended up placing in the top 10. It was a great experience. I didn't win. Had another baby and then it wouldn't leave me alone. It kept coming back. So I competed again and ended up winning the title. So at this time I had a 3, 5, and 7-year-old. And what was really devastating is later that year, I have a really close sister 2 years younger than me who was losing her battle to mental illness that same year. And while I was stepping into my purpose and kind of carving up my path and really finding my voice and my beauty and finding purpose in just being a woman and having a platform for outreach and things like that. My sister was losing her battle. My sister had 5 children, ages 2 through 12, and she ended up taking her life that year. And really between those 2 experiences, Erica, between of all things like being on Oprah and seeing myself not showing up in the way I was born to show up, and then climbing in and having this whole like metamorphosis where I bloomed and blossomed, and then losing my sister to suicide. It was just an absolute roller coaster of a few years. And I remember standing over my sister's grave promising to be her voice. And that was 15 years ago. She will have been gone 15 years this year, this month, actually. So that's my story. That's what got me to really diving in and finding out, you know, what is it that women act? Because my path is with women. My path is to help, especially mothers, to find their voice, find their gifts. And because my sister, she was kind of playing out the polar opposite of that. She couldn't find her voice. She couldn't find her worth. And so at the very same time I was blooming and blossoming, she was dying. And, you know, it's been so many years since then. I've self-published a book. I've started a podcast. I have an international business. I did travel all over the world until this virus. Everything changed after that moment where I realized life is precious. Life is a gift.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, Cherie, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, I can't even imagine like you said, the roller coaster of emotions and probably all of the questions you may have been asking yourself, like, why, God, why did this happen to my sister? And why am I feeling like I'm on top of the world while my poor sister is suffering and losing her life? It's just, it's a lot. And I commend you for being courageous enough to share your story and then taking your story and using it to help other women, so that you can save other women's lives and help them understand that there is more to life. And that also at the same time that there's more to life, there's beauty in life, and that we have to capture those moments and that beauty, even in the moments where you, as you described earlier, that you felt like you were drowning in diapers. And sometimes we just don't listen to that voice. You know how you mentioned that it just kept coming back to you, that urge mm-hmm. to do the pageant. I wonder what it is, because I know for me, I've had those same feelings where if I tried to even like this podcast and the book I'm writing, I would sometimes try to just throw it down and say, no, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the kids. I'm just going to be a good mom mm-hmm. and do those things. But then it comes back to you. And I wonder why it is that some women are able to answer that while others still struggle with that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because as women, we have been programmed to believe that our needs come second to our children and sometimes our husbands, sometimes our communities, even our churches. Like in every domain, pretty much women have been told for many thousands of years that our needs come second, because we are natural nourishers and caretakers and nurturers. And really the moment we turn that into ourselves and we nourish and nurture and listen to ourselves, that's when the real beauty comes out. But we cannot wait for someone else to give us that permission, because a part of us, no one will ever really give it to us. We have to give that to ourselves. And that was my awakening, to be honest. I was waiting for my husband or my bishop at church or my, you know, parents or my sister or somebody to just be like, go, you know, be you, live your dream, do your thing. And I realized that God had already given that permission to me. He was just waiting for me to give it to myself. And that's all I needed. Mm-hmm. I got the divine go ahead. I'm good to go.
Absolutely. I mean, that is so powerful when you think about that, right, Cherie? It's like, I know that feeling. And I know there's someone listening right now who can relate to waiting. And oftentimes I know that we're waiting for different reasons. Like sometimes we're waiting for permission. We don't feel like we're worthy or we deserve to go after those things. Sometimes we're waiting because we don't think we're good enough. And we're waiting for that moment when we feel perfect enough to go out there and follow that voice or find our voices and not feel like, oh my gosh, what if I fail or what's going to happen? So when you were stepping into your purpose and you started to embrace the beauty of you and all of your power, what did you feel? Were there any moments where you were afraid or you felt fear creeping in or any doubts, or were you just like, you know what? I'm going for it. I don't care. This is my time to shine.
Oh boy. It was both, mostly fear. And I think that's the least understood part of being a successful person, that people perceive quote unquote success. We all define it differently, but like there's a belief that successful people don't feel fear. And the thing is, they feel just as much fear. It's just that they choose to show up anyway. And there's no difference between how much fear a successful person feels versus someone who's quote unquote unsuccessful. They both feel the same amount of fear. It's what really makes the successful person rise is what they do with that fear. And so my whole career has been focused on helping people manage fear, because there's only two states that we have, either love or fear, period. And so if we learn how to go to love, self-love, mostly, if we can learn how to make that our default instead of just running straight into fear, that's when we rise. And so I still, every day of my, I'm not, like I said, that was so long ago when all this was happening and I was stepping into pageantry and other things, because pageantry really didn't define me. It was mostly like walking in my daily shoes. It was the journey. It's been a daily walk with now 5 children and struggles in my marriage and spiritual dissonance that I feel and anxiety. You know, like, it never ends. And it's like, you know, I think the illusion is we think that someday it's all just going to go away and we'll just be so peaceful and nothing will ever rock our boat. But actually, that's a lie. We will always have chaos around us. It's what we choose to do with that that defines how successful we are.
That's so true. Learning to manage our fears and, like you said, turning to love. So when you said turning to love, I automatically think of 2 types of love. Well, actually 3. Self-love, when you're loving yourself, choosing to love yourself and accept who you are, then the type of romantic love that we feel toward our spouses and significant others, and then the love that we as mothers have for children, our children, like the nurturing love, want to take care of, and that type of, those 3 types of love. So when you say turn to love versus fear, is that what you mean? Like, how can we kind of make that so that it's more of a tactical things? Like, what can we do to transition from that? Because I know that there are a lot of my listeners who struggle with fear, myself included. Mm-hmm. I loved how you just talked about love. I really thought that was powerful when you talked about shifting from fear to love. So could we just give us a little insight on how we can do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, not to be overly religious or biblical, but there is a scripture that, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the way I see it is something called divine order. So divine order is God, self, family, humanity, earth. So it's in an order. When I say God and the divine, everyone has a different construct of that. So I'm just going to say God. But basically, when you put your higher self and your higher power first, everything else lines up. But you have to surrender to that. You have to sit with it. You have to begin asking. And there's this thing called your sacred need. So that means if you are in fear, instead of just pushing through it and driving yourself and ruminating on the fear over and over in your mind, that just creates a lot of anxiety. The best go-to for that is to sit with it and ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? And let yourself feel the feeling fully. And when you are feeling it, that's when you go into your sacred need. Like, I don't know what to do. Show me. I mean, to go back to Oprah, that when I was on her show, and I followed her for many years, and she had said, you know, every morning she wakes up and says, God, show me, or use me, I think is what she says. She says both. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that to me is what love is. It's respecting yourself so much that you literally take a time out as if you were a toddler throwing a tantrum and you needed to be calmed down. You got to do that for yourself. You come back, you sit down, you stop. You breathe and you go into your sacred need. Like, okay, I'm drowning here. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's just kind of like what I was telling you when I was drowning in depression and had these 2 little children and there's diapers and all this. And I was like, what do I do? So it's an act of surrender. It's an act of like stopping everything and taking a time out and sitting down or laying down or meditating and breathing and praying or whatever your construct is with that. And just asking to be shown, asking for grace, asking for comfort. And that's when the love comes in. So you have to ask for it. That's actually a law of the universe. You have to, nothing gets put on you that you don't invite first. So you ask for that. You literally, it's an act, it's a healing gesture. It's an invitation that you offer. Show me or help me or whatever. Once you do that, everything rushes in to support you. And when you trust that, that's when you become truly empowered and you keep trusting it, even though you don't know it's really working. Mm-hmm. That's how you build confidence. And that's how you receive more and more abundance and more love and peace.
Wow, that's good. And I can relate to that, those moments, especially as moms, when we're feeling overwhelmed and you just reach that limit when you're just like, you know what, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And sometimes I feel like as strong women, we have a hard time saying or asking for help and feeling or feeling bad or like feeling like there's a sign of weakness or something. If we get to that place where we're just like, you know what, I don't know and I need help. So do you think that that's one of the reasons why often we're holding ourselves back from showing up as who we are or expressing our true strength as women because we're so busy trying to do it all and not know when to stop and ask?
Yeah, I think we do get too self-sufficient and we think we can do it all. And because, you know, we've been trained that our needs come second, we just don't, we just kind of like apologize for even wanting more. We shut it down or we pick ourselves up and push through it. And we don't take that time to really, really rest and to really, really receive what we need and get powered up. Because you know this, I'm sure, Erica, like we're no good to anyone else if we're empty.
Right. And that was going to be my next question. I wanted to ask you, why do you feel that? And I think you kind of just shared it, but I'd like for you to, you know, go a little bit deeper if you would like. Is, do you think that's why strong women often feel so empty and disconnected because we're so busy being strong?
I think that's part of it. I think deeper, strong women suffer because we overcomplicate healing. We overcomplicate the process. We're overprogrammed. There's so many potions and pills and programs, and we don't come back into our bodies and access our own wisdom. We outsource it. And this is what I mean by, you know, stop, take a time out, breathe, check in. There's been a huge resurgence of spiritual practices like yoga and meditation for this purpose. It's a very feminine energy that comes in of receiving when we stop. And we've been told that it's not productive to stop and breathe. But strong women, women who are driven, women who have purpose and a passion and mission, and even if it's just to be a great mom, that's a very, you can get completely into a suffering space because you over-identify with your children's choices. And I have, my kids are ages 5 to 25. I had to think about that. Mm-hmm. So I have it's kind of crazy. I have a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and then there's a 12-year gap. And then I have a almost 19-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 25-year-old. So I have young adults, 1 teenager, and 2 elementary-age children. It's a long story. So I'm living in these two worlds of like, you know, why was I sent these 2 children so late, as much later in life? Most of the women my age, I'm 51, are like empty nesters or their kids are older. And, but I'm raising these, my husband and I are raising these 2 young ones. And it's just the way it worked out. I'm not going to over question it anymore, but It's taught me to sing and dance and play and throw a fit if I need to and feel what I need to feel, because these 2 young children, it's like my second chance to really look at what's most important and what's most essential, because I've had a measure of success in business and it's been wonderful, but no success can compensate for me not feeling good, me being fear-based, or me being a bad mom because I'm always tired. So it's finding that really delicate balance between giving and receiving. What am I receiving unto myself to get filled up? And then once I'm empty, because I'm giving of my reserves, I got to come back and get still again and get loved up. And I cannot wait for someone else to do that for me. I've got to do that for myself. We all do.
Yes, you're so right. Because the people in our lives, as much as they love us, they're going to continue to take whatever we give. And oftentimes they're not really thinking about us in the way that we need to think about ourselves. And it's just really important that we as moms learn that. I know I learned that the hard way when I got to a place where I felt totally depleted and resentful because I felt like I had nothing left for myself. And I was just always taking care of the kids, worrying about everyone else. And So we don't want to get to the depletion zone for sure.
Right.
And as we, unfortunately, Cherie, this has been such a wow, I've totally lost track of time. Can't even believe we're almost done. But as we get to this point in the conversation, I think this would be a great time now for you to share. I know that you have a wonderful resource that I think would be amazing for our listeners, especially if they are really leaning into this conversation and seeing themselves as we talk about the need for healing. Would you like to share that?
Sure. Thank you. Yes. So because your own healing is in your hands and because you are the expert on your body, no one else, it's up to you to find that time to connect in and resource power and love. So I have a freebie on my website and you can either go to my name, CherieBurton.com, CHERIEBURTON, or it's probably easier to spell StandSpeakShine.com. So StandSpeakShine.com. On both of my sites, I have a freebie. It's a free healing kit that you can download. It's just a PDF with lots of cool stuff. Like there's a really yummy, soul nourishing smoothie recipe. There's a meditation. I've got some cool book reads. So it's just a collection of some of my favorite things to help bring you back in your body into your own soul knowing.
I love it. So make sure you take advantage of that. If you weren't able to grab Cherie's information just now, know that her information will be on the website under the show notes for today's episode. And Cherie, I know that you're also on social media. Would you like to share where people can connect with you online?
Yes, thank you. So my podcast is Women Seeking Wholeness, and you can find my Facebook community there. And also just on Instagram, it's Cherie.Burton. So yep, either of those two places, you'll find me.
Awesome. And again, Cherie's information will be on today's show notes. See, if you were driving in your car or perhaps cleaning and couldn't get a pen, you can always just hop on over there and click on her links to connect with her. Cherie, I have truly enjoyed our conversation today, and I love the work that you're doing. I hope that as you guys listen to this episode, you really felt what we were talking about and that you check in with Cherie, because I know that she has amazing resources for feminine leaders, for women who want to really step into their power and know how to do that without feeling forced, and all the other amazing things that Cherie's doing. And as we wrap up, Cherie, I always love to ask my guests to share their parting words of wisdom with our listeners. What would you like to leave us with today?
Oh, thanks, Erica. I would just say that, going back to what I said earlier, like, you are the expert on your body. You are what you've been seeking. You are the answer.
Love it. We can just stop right there. That's all we need. Just remember that. And something else that you said, I just wanted to add to that powerful statement, is that you mentioned outsourcing our wisdom. And I think that we really need to sit with that and think about, how many times have we questioned whether or not we knew the answer? And you go and ask someone, or you don't trust yourself enough, and then you later found out or discovered, you know what, I knew that already.
It happens a lot. It's the task of our lives to come back to our own knowing.
So good. Well, thank you so much, Cherie. I've enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for being a part of the Moms with Dreams show.
Thank you, Erica. It's been great.
You're welcome. What did you think? During our conversation, I wrote down so many powerful quotes that I just want to share with you, and I want you to let them sit and see, you know, how they feel. Do they resonate with you? Do they help you to start looking at your life differently and the way you are treating yourself? So here are a few of the quotes that I jotted down while Cherie and I were talking. Sometimes when we ask for something, it doesn't show up in the way that we think it will. We will always have chaos around us. It's what we choose to do with that defines how successful we are. Nothing gets put on you that you didn't invite first. Because we've been trained that our needs come second, we apologize for wanting more. No success can compensate for me not feeling good or feeling fear-based or not being a good mom because I'm tired all the time. And lastly, I wrote down, you are the expert on your body. And I think that, you know, I'm sure if you go back and listen, you may hear some other things that speak to you, but those messages, those quotes from Cherie really spoke to me, and I wanted to share them with you. And I hope that this conversation has encouraged you. I hope that you heard something that inspired you and reminded you of the possibilities of what your life could be like when we start to say yes to ourselves, when we stop putting ourselves on the back burner, ignoring our needs, dismissing the things that we want, and feeling like we have to apologize for wanting more. If you love this episode, I hope that you can come back and listen again and share it with someone in your life who may be able to benefit from this conversation. And of course, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways and comments. You can leave your comment and any feedback you have for me below the show notes for today's episode, which would be at ericablocker.com/178. And if you wanted to share something that's a little bit more personal, you don't want the whole world to see it, you can email me directly at erica@momswithdreams.com. I promise I always respond to my email and I respond to comments. All right, so that's all I have for you today. And I hope that you take good care of yourself. I'll be back with you very soon. Until next time, reclaim your dreams, do what you love, make a difference. Take care.